Trying my best to encourage the group. And I would come up to maybe everyone, especially on the practice, and be like, come on guys, just one more step, we can do it. Or come on, we're nearly at the top, or the end is in sight, the end is near. And I'd come along, I would try and encourage, and most of the time, you're just kind of met with the face that Cody's got on now, just scowling at you, and no, just get in my face. Because they know, and I know, that I can do nothing to make the hills any flatter. I can't make them any fitter, unfortunately.
Just joking.
And they know this, that really I can't do much about the situation. They're on it kind of by themselves. But Jesus comes to us this morning, and he says these words that I want us to focus on. He says, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, not just that bit, but the full. Have you got the first one, Margaret? There's the one. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And what Jesus is doing there is not just offering us some pep talk or trying to encourage us with meaningless words, but he is pointing us to a great truth about what he has done, what he is doing, and opening our eyes to that, saying it's actually about what he's done rather than about what we can do in our own strength. So the context of this is that when the disciples, Jesus is talking to his disciples in what they call the upper room. So this is known as the upper room, this one. He's just been talking to disciples, giving them a huge long message. The disciples are nervous, they're afraid. Jesus is saying things that they find confusing, that he is going to be taken away from them. This Jesus that the young people were reminded us about today, this Jesus who could walk on water, who could bail them out of trouble, who they'd see mighty miracles, he'd been protecting them, he'd been looking after them. And now, it's like the shadow of the cross is hanging over this whole situation. The disciples are fearful, afraid. Jesus is making them aware that they're going to have troubles, that they're going to be persecuted, and he says to them right in that moment, but take heart, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. See, it was going to look like defeat. On the cross, Jesus was going to look like he'd lost. The disciples were like, what's going on? It's looking like we're on the losing team here, but Jesus was assuring them, you are on the winning team. Now, this is our situation this morning as well. Jesus says this to us. In this world, we will have trouble. Sometimes the world is hostile to our faith. Sometimes it feels like the world is hostile to our faith. It feels like a battle. It's a struggle. Because it is a lot of the time. Sometimes it can feel like we're sometimes losing at life. And then what we tend to do is do what the disciples did. We get scattered. We crawl into our caves. We get self-focused. And the church as well, sometimes people think, you know, the church, it looks like it's losing in the world. It looks like a small remnant. We ask, where's the next Billy Graham going to come from? And what is going to happen to us? We seem to be swamped by the problems that we can't deal with. But Jesus still into this situation says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. We are actually on the winning team. Interestingly, Billy Graham, I had a quote from him, he used to say, it was just his job to preach the gospel and God's Spirit would do the work. In other words, it was just Billy Graham's job to declare a victory that Jesus had already won on the cross. As the role of an evangelist, he's just declaring this has already been done. Jesus has won the victory. And as we know, he did that on the cross. He overcame sin and he overcame death. And he overcame the world. So let's unpack just for a wee bit what this victory means for us. The first thing that Jesus says is he says, I have said these things so that you may have peace. And you may think, well, how can we have peace in the midst of it? But he makes a contrast. He says, in the world, trouble, but in me, peace. World, trouble, inside Jesus, peace. He's making it clear that nothing in the world can actually give us peace. We can't earn peace. As some of you may know, me and Shona are soon going to be getting married. And people keep saying to us, you know, as soon as all the wedding preparations is done, as soon as that stress out of the way, you know, it's all going to be good from there. You give me a thumbs up today if it's like, as soon as you get married, it's all good, isn't it? You get peace after that. I'll get a thumbs up over there. As soon as you're married, that's how you get peace. Or maybe it's in your home, maybe it's your community. But the truth is, the world, nothing in it can give us peace. But Jesus is saying here, in me, that you can have peace. Nothing in other religion can give you peace. It's not about working hard enough. We can't be good enough to be right with God. But Jesus is saying, through the cross, he gives us peace. That everything that made God and us not at peace with each other, everything that made God judge us and angry towards us, and everything is settled on the cross. That is the absolute core of peace. If you are in Jesus this morning, even though you might not feel at peace, you are at peace with God. You're at peace with God. You stand before him as righteous because of what he has done. In this core of your absolute being, that you have peace with God, that nobody can take away from you. And so when Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world, he's saying, you're at peace with me, I'm at peace with you. My victory is your victory. That I have overcome the world, it means that we overcome the world. Jesus said, anyone who is born of God overcomes this world. And some people, when they hear that, I've met kind of two different kinds of Christians. I mean, you've probably met them yourself. Some people think victory, well, does this victory over the world, does that mean that everything for a Christian is going to be rosy, that every single challenge we're going to obliterate, that life is going to be great, that we're going to prosper every single day, and it's going to be wonderful? Well, not necessarily, but you get the other Christian as well that says, well, he's talking about troubles here, so this world is all going to be about troubles, and then finally when we get to heaven, then it might be okay. But I think both extremes, you're going to have some quite miserable Christians. But Jesus says that he has overcome the world, and in that we can walk in amazing truth that we have victory. There's something a bit wrong if Christians walk around with a defeated mentality when Jesus has overcome the world. So how can we realistically be of good cheer in the midst of troubles? Has anybody yet seen Winston Churchill's The Darkest Hour, the new film that's out? I think some may have. It's a brilliant film. But there's a question that I asked all the way through it. When he was surrounded by all these people that were saying, the odds are against you, make peace with Hitler. He was being pressured. And you think, where is he getting all this confidence? How come he still has these convictions? How come he is not being swayed? How come, though everything seems to be coming against him, he is still like, he's got his way and he's settled on it? The film does obviously suggest as well that it was maybe something to do with a bit of whiskey as well, that it was nice to keep nice and settled. But on the whole, he had convictions, he was solid, he was steadfast. And when we see Jesus say these words, I have overcome the world, he has the cross hanging over them, and he is so certain and so sure. He is saying, I have this victory. There is no question, there is no doubt in my mind that I am coming through. And the point is that as Christians, we do not have confidence to overcome the struggles and challenges and difficulties that this world flings against us in our own strength. Our confidence must be completely and utterly in Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome the world. I think often if we don't think that the world is a problem, then we might be too much in it. If we don't think the devil is a problem, then we're maybe not standing up for our faith enough. And if you don't think the flesh is a problem, then you might be dead. Because but the thing is, Jesus is saying that these things are so strong against us, so much going to take us out, that we do not have the strength within ourselves to deal with it. But we need the power of Jesus Christ within us, that he was raised from the dead, and that he himself dwells and lives in our heart so that we can have this victory over the world. We can depend on him this morning. We can rely on him. And I wonder what it would look like if the church really did walk in that confidence. If we believe these verses of scripture, listen to this. Anyone who is born of God overcomes the world. John 5:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John 4:4. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests in us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And these are all reminding us, look, despite how things might appear, the reality is that in Christ we are walking in victory, that wherever we go, we are on this winning side, that Jesus is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And these are wonderful truths that we need to meditate on, get right into our heart when, as we were reminded, when the wind and the waves come up so high that we can't even see them, we need to do that. We need to look at these truths. And just to finish on this morning, I know that that's a very easy thing to say when things aren't going, you know, when things are going okay. It's easy to say, oh, just look to Jesus. And sometimes, I think as we're reminded with the story of Peter, the wind and the waves do get so high and life gets so difficult that sometimes our eyes are just not on him. And we sometimes think that the whole point of that scripture is to remind us, well, Peter, he just took his eyes off Jesus and then he started to sink, and that's kind of what happened. But what we have to remember is the absolute greater truth in that is that Jesus reached out and grabbed him and did not let him go. And I want to say to you this morning that this is the absolute victory. It's not about anything that you can do to remain in relationship with Jesus and the love of God, but it's that he has us ultimately. That's why the apostle can say to us, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we have to remember this morning, the amazing truth that no matter what life may be flinging at you this morning, if you are in Christ, he has you. You are loved by him. Amen. Let's pray together, and then I'm going to invite the familiar people to sing a song. Father, I thank you for the truth that your love, Lord, it never fails, it never gives up, Lord. And that anything, Lord, in this world, Lord, that the devil could throw at us, that the world can fling at us, Lord, that you have overcome it. That your victory, Lord, is won on the cross. That our sin there was paid for, Lord, and we know, Lord, that we fall short every day. But Lord, we know that your grace sustains us. And the grace that led us to you, Lord, is the grace that keeps us. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much, that you sent your Son into the world for our sin. And we thank you that he was raised to life, that he would live with us, inside us, that now you have said, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us. God, give us boldness and courage this morning, Lord. Help us to be full of good cheer and joy, Lord, as we think on these things. And give us a desire to share your truth with the world, Lord. And Lord, I would pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that does not know your love, Lord, that they, like Peter, would cry out to you this morning, Lord, save me. And I thank you, God, that your hand is reaching out. We just thank you for all these things, Lord, and I pray that we would leave here with joy and encouraged in all your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.